the school system has really, really been successful at failing to teach students languages. The school system has really failed. And this failure is universal. It's not just pertaining to Nigeria or Africa. It's the same thing in the US, in the UK, in the Middle East. The school system has failed in teaching languages. And that is because the traditional approach of the school system to language learning is very, very wrong. Languages are taught like chemistry, maths, and physics. Students are forced to memorize words, memorize vocabulary lists, memorize phrases, and do very boring tasks. Language learning is not supposed to be so. Many of us here spent so many years learning French. If you're in Nigeria, I'm sure you must have learned French at a time. Some even spent 9 years, 6 years of primary school, 3 years of junior secondary school, and yet they can't even hold a decent conversation in French. They can't even go to a French restaurant and order something to eat. That's to show that they didn't learn anything. They just passed through the courses and crammed, and maybe got a B or an A or a C. It doesn't matter what they got, but they didn't learn anything. This brings me to my next point. This is the most salient point in every theory of language acquisition, and this is the fact that there's a difference between language acquisition and language learning. Without making you confused by throwing in linguistic jargons, I'm going to just explain the difference between the both of them. Language acquisition is what occurred when you learned your mother tongue. Many of us speak English or Yoruba or Hausa, whatever you speak. I'm very sure that you cannot remember when you learned your mother tongue. I'm too sure you can't remember because you learned it unconsciously. You can't remember learning words. You can't remember conjugating verbs. You can't remember doing any of those boring tasks. You learned your mother tongue by listening a lot, absorbing the language, and speaking when you were ready. I want you to remember that children don't even learn languages by speaking first. They listen a lot. Sometimes some kids stay for more than 2 years, they've not yet spoken, but eventually they will speak. Because as long as they listen and listen and listen, they will begin to speak. Language learning is different. I already explained what language learning was from the beginning. Language learning is consciously forcing yourself to learn words, consciously forcing yourself to achieve fluency by doing vocabulary lists, memorizing phrases. And if you understand how the brain works, you will know that our brain does not like to learn things in isolation. That's why memorizing vocabulary lists fails most of the time. Except you are a genius that can memorize pi. So 20,000 was backward. Vocabulary list will probably not work for you. So today I'm showing you the most natural way to achieve fluency in the language. And that is by putting yourself in an atmosphere of optimum input. And how do you achieve optimum input? By listening and reading a lot. By listening and reading content that you enjoy. Do you love reading manga and you're learning Japanese? Then start to read your manga in Japanese. Of course, it might be challenging at the beginning, but you have to start. Use Google Translate. Translate the words that you don't know. But one thing I'm sure of is that if you read what interests you, you will surely achieve fluency, because you're not just reading because you want to read, but you are reading because you are enjoying the content. In the theories of language acquisition, content is king. Content is what is the most important. And every learner has to be independent. You have to be independent in learning. In fact, you shouldn't depend on your teacher. Even when I teach foreign languages, I never force students to read what I have for them. A teacher is not supposed to be It's not supposed to be someone that imposes what students should learn on them. A teacher is supposed to be a guide, someone that oversees what students learn. Students are supposed to read what interests them in the foreign language, because language learning is supposed to be personal. Today we have someone very special with us, someone that has brought revolution to the dimension of language learning. We have Stephen Krashen with us. Stephen Krashen is Professor Emeritus of Southern California, University of Southern California. He is a researcher, he is a linguist, and he is one of the top facilitators of the School of Thought of Comprehensive Input. Stephen Krashen is going to be showing us what works and why language acquisition has to be by input. Before Stephen Krashen comes online, I just want to quickly clarify some of the misconceptions about language learning very fast. One of the misconceptions is that many adults believe that children learn languages better and faster. This is not true. This is not a fact. Children take 2 to 5 years to achieve fluency in their mother tongue, and in these 2 to 5 years they spend most of their time speaking the language. They live in absolute immersion of the language. Most times adults never have that opportunity, and yet an adult can achieve fluency in the same 2 to 5 years. When an adult has that same opportunity, they achieve fluency faster. And then adults have the advantage of being able to read in the foreign language they are learning. This makes it easier to achieve fluency. Okay, so the time has come for Stephen Krashen to speak to us. Thank you so much, Stephen Krashen, for being with us today. Thank you so much, Stephen Krashen.
Hello, I'm Steve Krashen, and I'm more than happy to be able to share some of my work with you, some of our recent progress. And you're going to see that Iran and even the city of Isfahan play important roles in the work I'm going to discuss with you. Studies over the years have shown that methods of language teaching that are consistent with what we call optimal input result in more language acquisition, and so far promise to be more pleasant for students and teachers. So I'm going to talk about optimal input today. The optimal input hypothesis says we acquire language and develop literacy from input, from understanding what we hear and what we read, not from speaking and writing. Our ability to speak and write fluently and accurately is the result of acquiring language from input. The evidence for this, briefly, studies showing the universality of a silent period, especially in informal language acquisition. Studies showing that if we increase output, we make students write more and speak more, it does not mean more language development. Also, the observation that language acquisition can occur without any output at all, and increasing input increases the quality of output. Finally, forcing output in language classes, making students talk before they're ready, is a cause of considerable anxiety. I first discussed optimal input years ago, and the concept has been deepened and improved by Benico Mason. We've concluded that optimal input has these four characteristics. Number one, of course, it's comprehensible. This doesn't mean every detail is comprehensible. Input can be comprehensible, even if there's a little noise in the input, some incomprehensible pieces. This includes unknown vocabulary and grammar, rules that have not yet been acquired, but are not important for comprehension. In other words, language acquisition does not require that you understand every word and every part of every word. But of course, language acquirers should understand most of it. It's very also, number two, optimal input is extremely interesting, very interesting. The word I like to use for this is compelling. Compelling input is so interesting, you temporarily forget that it's in another language. If input is comprehensible and compelling, you won't even notice the noise in the input, most likely. The next characteristic, optimal input is rich. This is characteristic number three. It's rich in language that contributes to the message and the flow of the story or text. The language included in the input also gives the reader support in understanding and therefore acquiring new parts of language. Big point. It is not necessary to make sure that certain grammar and vocabulary is there in the input. Rich input automatically includes new, unacquired language that acquirers are ready for. We've called this I plus one. Number four, quantity. It takes a lot of comprehensible, compelling, rich input to make real progress. Optimal input is therefore, we use the word abundant, which provides more opportunities for the acquisition of language. The result of getting out to optimal input is subconscious language acquisition. Language acquirers will be focused on the story, the message, and they will not always be aware that acquisition has happened. The knowledge will be represented subconsciously in their minds. We're currently examining these exciting hypotheses about optimal input. This is so interesting. I've been at this for a long time, and it seems to me that the research is getting more and more interesting. We're seeing more and more. Number one, here's what we found so far. The best forms of optimal input are, so far, number one, listening to stories. Stories that are made comprehensible in a variety of ways. For example, drawing pictures. Teacher draws a drawing when there's something difficult that's coming in the story. Occasional translation. Explanations. This is called story listening, developed by Benico Mason. We think it's a very powerful way, a very pleasant way, to lead students to another form of optimal input, the second form I'll discuss, and that is reading, which has been my obsession for several decades now. Professor Mason recommends providing large amounts of easy written input. In her English classes in Japan, she provides students with access to hundreds of books in easy English, sometimes called graded readers. These books give students the competence they need to read and understand authentic reading. And it's the job of the teacher to help students find easy books that are right for them. Benico Mason calls this stage guided self-selected reading, GSSR, and the idea is that GSSR will lead the students to eventually read authentic books. I think we have vastly ignored the importance of lots and lots of very easy reading. We've underestimated how much of it is necessary. We blame people for not acquiring their languages. We make no effort to make it possible, or offering only the same ineffective and dull grammar classes. The languages I'm good at, I've had lots of easy reading. The languages I'm not good at, I haven't had lots of easy reading. It isn't available. Okay, second hypothesis we're looking at. Popular ways of acquiring second languages only work if they contain large amounts of optimal input. A good example, immersion, a very problematic term. This means in general living in the country where the language is spoken. Immersion may contain a great deal of optimal input. I've had this experience, deep friendships with interesting people, interesting conversations, finding lots of good things to read. Or it may fail, it may contain a lot of non-optimal input, a situation I'm in a lot where I have a working knowledge of the language, I have lots of superficial conversations with people, but not much real acquisition happens. Third idea we're pursuing, when acquirers obtain optimal input, individual differences in rate of acquisition are diminished, may disappear. In other words, given the right conditions, optimal input, we are all gifted language acquirers. Nobody's any better than anyone else. I'm going to conclude all this with a case history consistent with the hypotheses I've presented to you. This came about when a new faculty member at my former university, USC, Southern California, contacted me. We had met before briefly at a conference. And of course, we performed the usual required ritual of having coffee. Professor Nushan Ashtari is from Iran. And in fact, her father was born in Isfahan. Interesting coincidence. When we finally met for coffee, what we did is what academics generally do. We told each other about what our current research was about. Now, normal people don't do this. Normal people talk about their families, and these days they talk about Donald Trump. But when it was my turn, she told me what she was working on, and I told her what I was doing. Basically, what I just told you. She immediately thought of the case of Mohammad Hisabi, a world-famous physicist from Iran, who passed away in 1992 at the age of 90. Professor Ashtari immediately saw the relevance of Professor Hisabi's experience to our work and found some original sources and translated them into English. Here's what we found out. Professor Hisabi was an accomplished polyglot, born in Iran but lived in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, France, and the United States at various forms at various times in his life. These experiences, of course, contributed to his knowledge of Farsi, Arabic, English, and French. They were optimal input immersion situations. But he was also competent in German, and he had never had a German immersion experience. Here's what happened. On a trip to Germany, he wanted to speak to a store employee about an item in the store, but he couldn't. He decided right then to acquire German. He was 60 years old at the time. He made it a regular practice to, quote, study German for 30 minutes every evening for the next 30 years. For him, study included a great deal of reading. He began by reading what were called short and simple books used for teaching German to language learners. And after a few years, he was reading complex philosophical German books. He eventually wrote letters in German to a colleague who was a native speaker and who supplied him with books. She wrote to him and said, if someone didn't know you personally, they would think your mother tongue is German. Note that his approach to German is a version of guided self-selected reading developed by Benigo Mason, which I just described. The short and simple books he read provided the competence that made reading authentic books possible. I have to point out, of course, that this report is not the only case history showing impressive progress in the second language through reading. What is clear is that the path from simple and short reading to authentic pleasure reading deserves a lot more attention in the language teaching profession. It's been a coming to a conclusion. It's been a great pleasure being here with you, if only virtually.